There is not a person alive who has experienced what a world without this darkness could be like. A world of free energy that was kept from us to force our dependency on their fossil fuel monopolies. Abolishment of income tax that was illegally imposed to pay back interest on loans taken from the cabal banking system. Released cures for our most deadly diseases. Unleashed space technologies to open frontiers we never dreamed possible. New technologies creating millions of jobs and yielding a global human renaissance the likes of which we have never seen. Fellow Americans and citizens of the world, now it is our turn to shine. Wherever we are, we will become the plan when we choose to reject what they called globalism. We recognize the words they use to bend us to their will, and we say no more. It's time to turn off the media, follow your instincts, trust yourself, and be the plan. May God bless America and the world.
Let's get into the economic collapse, political and geopolitical news. Now, we know that during the summer, Congress goes on break, normally in August. And we know that the deep state, when Congress leaves and there's no one in Washington, and I don't mean it's just empty, Congress is not there, all of a sudden things happen with the deep state. We've seen this in the past, and we're getting some information from Q that something is going to happen in August. August is going to be a very hot month. Now, does this mean the deep state's going to do something? No, I believe the Patriots are going to do something, where we're going to see the first part of the movie play out. And this is just going to lead to another and another. And the deep state, they're panicking. They have no idea what's going on. They don't know anything about the Durham investigation. No leaks. Barr has not leaked anything. Durham has not leaked anything. And nobody else has leaked anything. All the other investigations that are going on, there have been no leaks. The deep state, they already know they lost. They're already planning an event right after the election. That tells us something. That tells us that they know they have no chance and they're going to stamp their feet, smash their arms against whatever, and they're going to have a tantrum. Didn't they have this during 2016? Yes, they did. It's continued up to this point. They're going to do the same thing after the 2020 election. Now remember, these individuals, they hide behind the curtain. They're in the darkness. Some are elected officials, but I do believe they are the foot soldiers. The true controllers, they're behind the curtain. And not many people know about them. And this is why they still have control over certain things. They still have control of the mainstream media. They still have control over their paid mercenary domestic army, where they're being arrested right now, but they have control. They already know that they can't win in 2020. This is why they're planning these events. The Patriots, they already know what's going on. They understand this. And this is why they're coming out with the narrative. I'm talking about the deep state players, where Trump's not going to accept the election results. Trump will not leave the White House when he loses. They did all this back in 2016. They're projecting what they're going to do when they lose. That's what we're looking at. We'll be talking about this a little bit later in this report. But first, we know that Trump has been building the wall. And there's a reason why he's building the wall. He's cutting the deep state off, all the drug trafficking, human trafficking, everything that they set up with the cartels. And what's very interesting is that the CJNG cartel, they were at the border and they were showing their military style convoy. And it was a long convoy. They have a lot of advanced weapons and they were showing this to the president of Mexico. Now, this is what's at the border. This is what's been controlling all of this. And this is why Trump is putting up a wall. This is what the deep state has created. Remember, going back in time, when they were talking about a drug war, it was getting rid of their competition. So they would be the only ones in charge of the drug running. It wasn't about getting rid of the drugs. It was just about getting rid of their competition. Remember, they have Afghanistan with the poppy fields. They have the drugs coming over the border. And this was a way to make them the only suppliers. And that's what they've done. And they built these cartels up. And this is why Trump has been shutting down the borders. This is why he's putting up a wall. It's an extra layer of protection. It makes it more difficult. This is why he's doing it. And that's not the only thing he's doing. There's other technologies that go along with the wall. And that's why it works. Now, very interestingly, Trump had an interview with Chris Wallace. And Chris Wallace, he was asking Trump questions. And they were all different questions during this interview about the Confederate flag, about other things, and also about defunding the police. Now, Chris Wallace was making a statement saying that Biden never said he was going to defund the police. But when we look back and we look at certain videos, different interviews, actually, Biden did say he was going to defund the police. He might not have said defund the police. He called it cutting police funding. He was asked the question. And he said, yes, absolutely. Take a listen. He also called the police the enemy. Take a listen.
Surplus military equipment for law enforcement. They don't need that. The last thing you need is an up-armored Humvee coming into a neighborhood. It's like the military invading. They don't know anybody. They become the enemy. They're supposed to be protecting these people. So my generic point is
but
that...
Can we agree that we can redirect some of the funding?
Yes, absolutely. One of the things that...
So actually, Biden does agree with cutting police funding. Biden also agrees with defunding the military. And he's going along with that because we know that this is their main objective. This is what he said. We can maintain a strong defense and protect our safety and security for less. Well, that means getting rid of some of the funding for the military. This is what they were doing before Trump. They were removing the funding for the military and weakening the military. If you really look at what they're doing right now, they're continuing with their 16-year plan. Then Wallace asked "Do you support the Confederate flag? Should we get rid of the Confederate flag?" Well, there's one thing that we have in this country. It's called freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of religion. The First Amendment does not apply to being offended or hate speech. You might not like it. You might hate it. But anyone can pretty much say anything or display anything as long as it's not against the law. That's it. So if people in the South have Confederate flags, that is their right to have a Confederate flag. Just like it's the right of the BLM protesters to be out there protesting. Just because it offends one group and doesn't offend another doesn't mean that it can't be displayed. That's the beautiful thing of this country about our rights, is that, yes, you might be offended, you might hate what a person's saying, but you do not have a right to tell them that you can't do that anymore. Because what offends one group doesn't offend another. What one group thinks of hate speech, what hate speech is, the other group doesn't think that's the same type of hate speech. That's why the Founding Fathers didn't put it in the Bill of Rights, because they knew that hate, who's offended, is subjective. This is why you have the freedom to do these. Now, you might say, hey, I don't want to look at that, or I don't want to shop at that store, but that's your choice. That's your freedom. But people are making it seem like, well, it's a hate symbol, so we can't display it. No, everyone has the right to speak freely, to display things, even if someone is offended. It's called free speech for a reason, because which group decides what's good and what's bad? Think about that for a second, because we're seeing it play out right now. There's a small minority group telling the country, listen, we don't like these statues, so we're the ones who are in charge right now, and we don't want these displayed anymore. We don't care if it's Abraham Lincoln. We don't care if it's George Washington. Well, does everyone agree with that? No. This is why when you want to do something like this, the people will decide by working together, maybe having a vote, and seeing if the majority wins. Not with just a small group saying, this is the way it's going to be.
Companies still have...
Now, I've warned you countless times that Democrats in New York are giving us a precursor of what will happen nationally if Biden wins. Now, the most recent example comes from Letitia James, the most left-wing attorney general in New York state history. Today, with great fanfare and a full PR operation, she announced that she wasn't just investigating the NRA, she intended to dissolve it.
Altogether, there are 18 causes of action: improper wage reporting, improper income tax withholding, failure to make required excise tax reporting and payments. For these years of fraud and misconduct, we are seeking an order to dissolve the NRA in its entirety.
And nominated for Best Actress in an ongoing drama is, well, first thing you need to know, this has zero connection to some of the internal issues the NRA has had in management operations over the past few years. It has nothing to do with that. And it reminds me of how they targeted Eric Trump's foundation. Remember that? That raised like millions and millions of dollars for St. Jude's. It was totally political. Now, if Ms. James was really an unbiased official looking to stem abuse in a 501c3 organization, then why isn't she launching an investigation into the butchers of Planned Parenthood that prey on women in the inner city? I can tell you why. Planned Parenthood has pledged $45 million to elect Democrats this year, while the NRA, well, a big nothing. Well, if she really cared about rooting out corruption and fraud and waste, she has plenty of room to run in New York politics. I mean, come on, man, as Biden would say. The former top Democrat in New York State House was just given prison time for corruption.
A man who was once one of the most powerful politicians in New York State political history comes to grips with his fate, sentenced to 78 months in prison and $1 million fine for profiting off his office as Assembly Speaker.
Now, maybe she should find out the real reason Governor Cuomo abruptly disbanded his anti-corruption task force.
I believe with the credibility of this commission, you can go a long way towards restoring that public trust.
That 25-member panel was supposed to spend 18 months rooting out political corruption in New York State, but Cuomo shut down the commission in March. The New York Times reported last week that Cuomo's top aides repeatedly blocked anti-corruption investigators.
Yeah, nothing to see there at all. Now, and don't forget this, smart, aggressive lawyers can always come up with some rationale to sue or investigate you or, frankly, any organization. They have armies of lawyers paid for, in this case, by the taxpayers, and they can devote countless hours to drive up your litigation fees. That's how this racket works. And even if they have a lame case, they can still beat you by bankrupting you. And that's her goal, the New York State Attorney General, and that's her goal with the NRA. One doesn't need too active an imagination, though, to see how this sort of strategy could play out nationally in a Biden administration. Now, in that case, the DOJ will be stacked with prosecutors like Ms. James. Who needs to debate issues on the merits about guns or gun ownership when you just can take out the opposition, take them out of the game altogether. They'll go after pro-life groups, conservative think tanks, conservative radio shows, cable networks, even churches. Like efforts to defund the police or tear down historical monuments, this move against the NRA, it's a test run for broader efforts to frighten and intimidate people for exercising their God-given rights. Now, these are malicious Marxists, and they've had a lot of practice doing this. Remember, they've been burrowed into our schools and our universities for years. They've been protected by teachers' unions and compliant administrators. The angle has warned you over and over again that they're not content to keep this on campus, though, or in certain liberal cities and enclaves. Like a nasty pathogen, it needs more hosts. It needs to go national. And they'll have the DOJ to sue you, the EPA to monitor you, and the IRS to audit you. They'll have unlimited resources and plenty of left-wing judges on state and even federal courts on their side. They'll defund the police, and they'll disarm the public.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
You're going to take care of the gun problem with me. You're going to be the one who leads this effort. I'm counting on you.
So to gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo, you're right.
Oh, my God. Now, throughout this tumultuous year of the pandemic and the riots, Democrats' implicit promise to the country is the following. If you help us defeat Trump, put Biden in office, things are just going to calm down. They'll go back to, you know, basically normal. But as usual with frauds, that's a lie. A Biden presidency will cater to a coalition of radical interests of the Letitia James variety. That means a campaign of revenge on traditional America, just like New York is waging now on the NRA. And the only way to end the far-left cycle of retribution and silencing is to beat them at the ballot box, and badly. Now, right now, if you don't like the way, like, de Blasio is running New York City and you're living in New York, or the way Lori Lightfoot is running Chicago and you live in Chicago, well, you can pick up and move. But think about this. Under a Biden administration, there'll be no escape from politically motivated investigations. And your basic first, second, hell, all of your constitutional rights, they're all going to be in jeopardy. Your liberties will only be protected and protected from these radical America-hating monsters if voters this November punish the Democrats and they make them pay for coming after our prosperity and, yes, our guns.
I want to say those fighting words for everyone within the sound of my voice to hear and to heed, and especially for you, Mr. Gore. From my cold, dead hands.
That never gets old. Now, can you imagine if a red state AG decided to go after the ACLU with the sole purpose of destroying the entire organization? The media would go absolutely bonkers. An attorney general who cares about the well-being of his or her state, what would that attorney general be doing? They'd be focusing on prosecuting the criminals and the organized mobs running wild in places like New York City. The thugs there are so brazen, they're attacking innocent people running bodegas and police officers who are just out doing their jobs. Things are so bad in New York, the governor is begging rich people to return.
Are you?
When are you coming back? We'll go to dinner. I'll buy you a drink. Come over. I'll cook.
Yeah, that'll work. Do Ms. James and Governor Cuomo think that the thousands of people who are now listing their apartments for sale or rent are doing so because the NRA has too much power in the state? What a phony diversion. The fact is, none of these New York officials, just like none in the Biden camp, have a clue about how to make your life better. All they have to offer is more economic ruin, more crime, and endless charges of systemic racism. And this just goes to show you that the hope and change slogan of Obama's was, it looked cool on a poster, right? But it was always a lie. Apparently, he and Biden, they didn't change America at all. In fact, after they finished their 8 years, the country elected Trump. So by their logic, the country has gotten even worse. So for the next 4 years, they intend to put anyone who does not submit to their rule in detention. You're going to have less control over every aspect of your life, while the connected, woke crowd will have the power to do whatever it wants. Remember, rules for thee, but not for me. Oh, it's time for the silent majority to be silent no more. There are more of you than you think. We don't have to live like this, in fear that our neighbors will report us for not wearing a mask on our own front lawn, or in fear that if we're defending our homes and our families, they'll make us the criminals, or in fear that our religious beliefs put targets on our backs, or in fear that the government will investigate us just because we oppose certain policies. Think of what the FBI, led by Jim Comey, did to President Trump and candidate Trump. They tried to cancel his entire presidency. Do not let them do this to America. And that's the angle.
Into the economic collapse, political and geopolitical news. Now, the deep state, the mainstream media, the corrupt politicians, they're panicking like we've never seen before. We know why. Because it's showtime. Trump yesterday talked about how he has a lot of enemies, how he will not be seen for quite a while because of something that's coming up. We also had AG Barr talking about how he might release the Durham investigation results before the election, and the representatives during the hearing, they went crazy over this. Actually, that was the one real question they asked. But we come to find out that all of these things are starting to fit together. Because during the hearing with AG Barr, they mentioned the Department of Justice rules. And they asked Barr, do you know the rules? And he says, oh, I know the rules. Well, everyone thought, oh, wait a minute, he can't release the information before the election because it's a violation of the rules. What happens if there are no rules about that? What happens if they don't exist? They don't. We'll be talking about that in just a minute and how all of this is coming together. And it seems that this operation is getting the green light. But first, let's talk about Rashida Tlaib. It seems that she has violated campaign finance laws. The House Ethics Committee, they looked into this and they said, yes, she has done this. Now, she violated the Federal Election Campaign Act of 1971 by paying herself a salary from her campaign after securing victory in the 2018 general election. And the House Ethics Committee unanimously ruled this. Yes, she did do this. And they found that she violated these rules. She paid herself $10,800 from her campaign when she was no longer a congressional candidate in late 2018. So it looks like she got caught up in this, and it seems that she was caught. All those things that we were talking about has now come true. And we're just waiting for Ilhan Omar to see if all that stuff comes true about her brother, marrying her brother, and everything else. But what's very interesting is that the people now are starting to wake up. They're starting to realize what's really going on in this country. And this is the whole point of all this. This is to wake up every single person, as many as possible. Now, does this mean it's going to be 100%? No, it does not. You just need the majority. And we're starting to see this. Actually, Richard Grenell tweeted this out. Every Democrat friend of mine says, Biden is imploding. Democrats have gone too far left. Defunding the police is scary. The cancel culture must be stopped. The media bias is out of control. Everything the deep state has been trying to do has been backfiring. And what's very interesting is that Kanye West, he decided that he was going to run for president. Then the mainstream media was out there saying, no, he's not running for president. And then all of a sudden, Kanye was running for president. Well, it seems that Kanye West, he is running for president. And it seems that he is going to siphon votes from Joe Biden. Now, what votes is he going to siphon off? He is now planning to siphon the votes away from Biden. and these are the black votes, who aren't ready to vote for Trump, but are definitely not voting for Biden. And Kanye is going to be collecting these. And I think what's going to happen in the end is that Kanye most likely will then say, I support Trump, and those votes are going to go to Trump. Watch how this all plays out. I do believe this was planned from the beginning. Now, what's very interesting, we know that we had Sally Yates. She was on trial. She was being questioned. She got caught up in lies. And we understand that as each person comes in and testifies, they're going to be pointing the finger at someone else. This is exactly what the Patriots want. And we then come to find out, and this is coming from Paul Sperry, that Biden's vice presidential pick, Susan Rice, she might have used a private unsecured email server to conduct U.S. government business as Obama's national security advisor. Now, that is very interesting. And Richard Gunnell, he came out and he said that when Susan Rice sent herself that email about, let's do this by the book. Now, of course, why would you send yourself an email? Well, she sent this at 12:15 p.m. on January 20th, 2017. Trump has just been sworn in. So she sent it in the Trump presidency. This is a cover-up. And she's getting caught up in it. Sally Yates is getting caught up in it. Comey's getting caught up in it. And it's falling apart. Now, remember when A.G. Barr was being questioned in the hearing? He had a report in front of the House. And he was being asked questions by many representatives. But the important question was from Representative Debbie Powell. She's a representative in Florida. And she wanted to know whether Barr would commit to not releasing a report from Durham between now and November. And what did Barr say? No. Then she referred to the Department of Justice policy and asked Barr if he knows the policy. And he said, yes, he knows it. And she held up some papers there to show that she has the policy. But when you look at the Department of Justice policy, there are no rules about this. There is no policy at the DOJ which prevents the taking of enforcement action. None. No policy. Not written down anywhere. Never cited, never quoted, never enforced. There is a policy that prohibits the taking of any overt enforcement action for the purpose of affecting an election. That is prohibited. But that policy doesn't prohibit taking the same enforcement action when there is no such nefarious intention. So the people that Barr is going after, they're not running for election. So he has the ability to go after these people. There's no policy against that. And Attorney General Barr has said on multiple occasions that the Durham investigation is not examining possible criminal charges for anyone running for office. That satisfies the unwritten guidance. The investigation does not involve election process crimes. That satisfies the Department of Justice's explicit policy restrictions. So what else might there be? There isn't anything else. So whenever you hear the swamp officials or the mainstream media claim that Durham and Barr would be violating DOJ policy by bringing any indictments between now and November, ask them to show you the policy. Show them where is it written, because none of these individuals are running for president. Now, I do believe that certain individuals will be running for president, and I don't believe that Durham and Barr are going to go after those individuals. Who do I think? Maybe Clinton. Maybe some other people that might be put in a place for a temporary position as vice president. But I believe these people will be swapped out, and I think they're going to do it to try to protect themselves. But in the end, it will not protect them. And this just shows you right here that when Barr said he knows the Department of Justice policies, he's saying that I know that if I go after these individuals that aren't running for election, I have no problems. And remember, Durham's investigation is not going to end up in a report. It's going to end up in indictments, arrests. And I do believe this is why Trump the other day said, you know, I have a lot of enemies and you might not see me for a while. And I think this was on purpose because this has been planned from the beginning. And I believe what they're doing now is they're moving forward. And that brings me back to Post 35. And yes, we've read this before. Let me just read it again to refresh everyone's memory. And this is from November 2017. Remember, what Q gave us in the beginning of 2017, that was for now. I mean, going back in time, everyone thought, oh, this is going to happen in 2017. But this was for the future. Remember, the future is going to prove the past. This is what it says. POTUS will be well insulated, protected on Air Force One and abroad. Specific locations classified. While these operations are conducted due to the nature of the entrenchment, it is time to take back our country and make America great again. Let us salute and pray for the brave men and women in uniform who will undertake this assignment to bring forth peace, unity, and return power to the people. It is our hope that this message reaches enough people to make a meaningful impact. We cannot yet telegraph this message through normal methods for reasons I'm sure everyone here can understand. Follow the questions from the previous threads and remain calm. The primary targets are within D.C. and remain at the top on both sides. The spillover in the streets will be quickly shut down. Look for more false flags. Stay alert, be vigilant, and above all, please pray. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Love is patient. Love is kind. God bless my fellow Americans. And I do believe that they're preparing all of us that have been following this. They're preparing us for when this comes. And this is why Trump has been mentioning it. This is why Bill Barr responded to Debbie Powell in a certain way that he knows the policy. This is why Durham's investigation is not going to end up in a report. It's going to be ending up in an arrest. And this is why Durham's investigation is wrapping up at the end of summer. Now, is the end of summer August 31st? No, the end of summer is September 21st. So I do believe that we're going to see something happen during this period of time. Now, does it mean it's going to happen exactly on this date? No, but I think it's going to be around this time period where we might see something happen. And we'll have to wait and see. And what's very interesting is that Trump tweeted this out. This is the biggest political crime and scandal in American history. Hopefully, for the good of our country, it is coming soon. Now, he was responding to Paul Sperry's tweet, and this is what it says. Breaking, after 16 months of investigating, special hashtag Spygate prosecutor John Durham still has not interviewed James Comey, Andrew McCabe, John Brennan, or James Clapper. Clapper's attorney reportedly said Durham's office has assured him that he will not be interviewed at all. Now, does Durham need to interview these people? Or does he have all the information already? Has he filed the documents? Because when he interviews these people, what is he going to tell them? Oh yeah, we did it? No, he's going to wait. He's going to present what they have. He's presenting this to a grand jury. He's presenting all of this. Don't worry, these people will be interviewed. But he's collecting everything. He's investigating. He's making sure that he has all the dots connected. So this way, he can create the story of how this happens and let them answer. Because it's a lot better to have the documentation, understanding what they've done, so you can catch them in a lie, so you can force them to tell you what you need to know. And I do believe that this will be coming very soon. Now, what's very interesting, it seems that we have all these things happening at once. Ukraine, we have AG Bill Barr talking about the Durham investigation. We have Ghislaine Maxwell, we have Julian Assange. And now we have Jeffrey Epstein. Because it seems that the appeals court is going to reconsider whether Jeffrey Epstein's plea deal was actually legal. So they're calling into question the plea deal for Epstein. This whole thing is falling apart for the deep state, and it's happening very, very quickly. And we know what the deep state's trying to do. They're trying to create chaos. They're trying to create a delay in the elections. But is this going to work? Of course it isn't. Trump has the Trump card. HCQ waiting in the wings. He has Barr waiting in the wings. He will be playing the Trump card. But how do we know this is exactly what they're planning? Well, Tom Fitton tweeted this out. He said, incredible, California plans to count the millions of mail ballots for at least 17 days after the election day. Do you think it's only going to be 17 days? Oh no, this is going to be dragged out much, much longer because each state is going to say, we need 30 days. Oh, we need 50 days. Oh, we're confused here. This is exactly what they're trying to do. But it seems that the RNC, they are going after all these different states and suing the states, saying, no, you can't do this with mail-in voting. This is from Rona McDaniel, and it says, another legal win for the RNC and Team Trump. This time in North Carolina, a federal court just upheld state law rejecting Democrats' attacks on voting safeguards and their attempt to legalize ballot harvesting. We will not stop fighting. And at every turn, the deep state, the corrupt politicians, they're being stopped. And what else do we see happening? We see Trump, his administration, going after human trafficking. And what's very interesting, we know that Trump is very serious about human trafficking. And this brings me back to the woman that they saved down in Honduras at the beginning of the pandemic. I do believe that this is going to come into play very, very soon. Just like Julian Assange now is coming in to the fold. We're going to see this also coming into the fold. But what's very interesting, he's continually letting everyone know that human trafficking is terrible. His administration is donating money. He's continually retweeting certain individuals. Actually, he did Tim Tebow, and this is what he retweeted his tweet. This is what it says. On this World Day Against Trafficking, I'm humbled to announce that we are deepening our commitment in the fight against human trafficking. Visit Tim Tebow Foundation for more information. So Trump is letting everyone know that human trafficking is very important to him. He's keeping it in the spotlight, and there's a specific reason. And we are seeing protests all over the place saying, save the children. And what's been happening out on Twitter and other social media sites, all those individuals in Hollywood, certain politicians, they've been deleting certain tweets. They thought they were protected. They are no longer protected. People are looking. People are watching very, very carefully. Now, Trump, a couple days ago, he said he was going to write an executive order. And he did create an executive order. He signed it that prohibits transactions with TikTok and WeChat parent companies, ByteDance, and Tencent. And this will be effective in 45 days. Ron, CodeMonkey Z, that supports 8kun, tweeted this out. Good news, Tencent owns Reddit and a ton of other things and have allegedly been running massive anti-American propaganda efforts while under disguise as American corporations. So Trump issued this executive order to ban transactions with popular video sharing app TikTok and social media app WeChat. And this was done on purpose. The executive order says that any transaction by any person or with respect to any property subject to the jurisdiction of the United States would be prohibited with ByteDance LTD, Beijing, China, or its subsidiaries. Why is he doing this? He's shutting it down. So he issued this under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act and the National Emergency Act. Both orders also noted that the applications automatically capture vast swaths of information from its users, amounting to actions that threaten to allow the Chinese Communist Party access to Americans' personal information. Such information captured from users include internet and other network activity information, like location data, browsing, search histories. The data collected potentially allows China to track the locations of federal employees and contractors, build dossiers of personal information for blackmail, and conduct corporate espionage. And I also believe that there's back channels that the deep state uses in all of these apps to communicate. We've seen it before, like on Xbox Live and other platforms. And I do believe they probably use these platforms for this, and they're going to be shut down. Now, what's very interesting is that Twitter, they have begun labeling the Chinese Communist Party propaganda outlets as Chinese state-affiliated media. And Jerry Dunleavy tweeted this out and shows how they're changing it and making it seem like these outlets are China state-affiliated media. They're not propaganda outlets, and they're changing the names of all of them. Now, what's very interesting is that we know that the deep state players, these are mayors, governors, and others with the pandemic, they've been trying to shut down the economy. They've been keeping their cities, their states locked down, telling everyone to wear masks, scaring the people, saying we're not going to open the schools. But again, this has all backfired on them. All of a sudden, we have Cuomo. He says that New York schools can reopen next month, despite COVID-19. He's saying that, well, since things are a lot better in New York, we can start to open the schools. Why is he now saying the schools can open? We'll be talking about that in just a minute. But very interestingly, Andrew Bostom tweeted this out. Children have a greater chance of being hit by lightning than dying from coronavirus, with a death rate for 5 to 14 years old in England and Wales. Currently just 1 in 3.5 million. For under 5s, it is 1 in 1.17 million. So children are not really affected by COVID. And this is what Trump has been saying for quite a while. Tom Fitton tweeted this out. Shutting down the schools isn't about the children. It's about hurting at-real Donald Trump and taking care of teachers' unions. And that is absolutely true. They're doing an about-face because they're realizing the public was not going along with them. We'll be discussing that a little bit later. But first, the CDC, they've come out, and now they're reporting that 4,127 death certificates in the COVID count also list intentional and unintentional injury, poisoning, and other adverse events. So CDC, for 6% of the deaths, COVID-19 was the only cause mentioned. For deaths with conditions or causes in addition to COVID-19, on average, there were 2.6 additional conditions or causes per death. So it seems like the CDC is now starting to backtrack. I have a funny feeling we're going to start to see these numbers really, really drop. Because remember, pneumonia, flu, those numbers, they declined while the COVID numbers have gone up. And they were including people that were in motorcycle accidents and died from other causes. They were just throwing them in there. And now we're going to see things completely change. Now, we know that the mainstream media, the deep state, the pharmaceutical companies, they've been hitting against hydroxychloroquine like there's no tomorrow. The frontline doctors, they were demonized. They lost their jobs. They decided, you know something, we need to come out and tell the truth. And the mainstream media, the corrupt politicians, and many other people, they just attack them like crazy. But there are so many studies now that it's going to get harder and harder for them to convince the American people that hydroxychloroquine is dangerous, because more and more studies are happening right now, and it's showing that it works. Actually, Dr. Simone Gold tweeted this out. The study conducted on chloroquine in Brazil is now under federal investigation. Not only did they give the patients toxic dosages, which resulted in deaths, the researchers used the results to claim that chloroquine is an ineffective and dangerous. Censorship is typically preceded by a disinformation campaign. It is now underway. 15 years ago, when Dr. Fauci was the director of the NIH, their official journal published chloroquine worked against SARS-CoV. That is now a very embarrassing fact for the anti-HCQ cabal. So watch for disinformation about that 2005 study. Fortunately, there are now 50 additional studies showing HCQ works. And this is why there are governors now looking to protect themselves. And who is this? This is Idaho Governor Brad Little. He's seeking immunity for civil liability. So remember, this individual restricted pharmacists from dispensing hydroxychloroquine for off-label use. Since that time, 217 individuals from Idaho have died from COVID-related deaths, many of them without the choice to be treated with hydroxychloroquine. So he's looking for immunity. I believe that you're going to see a lot more governors seek immunity because everything that they have been doing, it's all going to come down around them. Remember, class action lawsuits are very effective. The mainstream media was doing this. Governors were doing this. This is going to be a complete and utter disaster for them. And the Ohio governor, Mike DeWine, well, he's tested negative for COVID-19 after testing positive earlier. So he had it, and then he didn't have it. That's interesting. Now, very interestingly, we know that the mainstream media, they keep pushing vaccine. Trump's talking about a vaccine, and he has Operation Warp Speed, but we know there are other pharmaceutical companies working on vaccines. And IET tweeted out something very, very interesting. It says, attention, very important info. Outbreak expected. So what does that mean, outbreak expected? Well, ABC had this article that they produced. It says, CDC expects 2020 outbreak of life-threatening AFM in children. So what is AFM? It is a rare, rapid onset of neurological disease affecting the spinal cord, leading to paralysis. Symptoms of AFM include sudden arm or leg weakness, difficulty walking, limb pain, back pain, or neck pain. AFM can cause paralysis over the course of hours to days, which may require a ventilator for breathing. Now that's very interesting. So let me continue with the tweet. And then it says, liability removed. What does that mean? Well, AstraZeneca wants to be exempt from the coronavirus vaccine. Liability claims in most countries. Why do they want to be exempt? Because I think what they're doing right now is setting up a narrative. And this is exactly what IET says. They are already set up and prepped the narrative. Reconcile. Are they saying that this is going to cause AFM? It's starting to seem that way. And it looks like they're protecting themselves. Now, am I saying it's actually going to happen? But when you start to put all the pieces of the puzzle together, it's starting to look that way. And this is why Trump is continually saying, I'm really looking at therapeutics. I think when he's talking about a vaccine and he's talking about therapeutics, I think they're one and the same. I think HCQ acts as a vaccine and it also acts as a therapeutic. And there might be other drugs that go along with this, but I think this is what he's actually leaning towards. Now, what is the deep state leaning towards? They're leaning towards mandatory vaccines, as we know. But I do believe the Patriots are going to counter all of this. And when will they do this? I do believe Trump, the Patriots, they prepared for it for a very specific time. It might be right before the election to counter the mail-in voting. Now, very interestingly, we know that Trump continually says the silent majority is growing, and we have seen the silent majority all over the place. And it seems that the Attorney General, he spotted a group of people in front of a police precinct showing their support for police, and he decided to stop, make a U-turn. He jumped out of the car to thank the people. Once again, the people were carrying American flags. They greeted the Attorney General. Once again, this is the silent majority. Now, General Flynn, he wrote a letter to America. And I wanted to read this letter to America because he's talking about the enemies that we are battling. He said, we are witnessing a vicious assault by enemies of all that is good, and our president is having to act in ways unprecedented in decades, maybe centuries. The biblical nature of good versus evil cannot be discounted as we examine what is happening on the streets of America. It's Marxism in the form of Antifa and the Black Lives Matter movement versus our very capable and very underappreciated law enforcement professionals, the vast majority of whom are fighting to provide us safe, secure homes, streets, and communities. When the destiny of the United States is at stake, and it is, the very future of our entire world is threatened. As Christians, shouldn't we act? We recognize that divine providence is the ultimate judge of our destiny. Achieving our destiny as a freedom-loving nation, providence compels us to do our part in communities. It encourages us in this battle against the forces of evil to face our fears head-on. No enemy on earth is stronger than the united forces of God-fearing, freedom-loving people. We can no longer pretend that these dark forces are going to go away by mere prayer alone. Prayers matters, but action is required. This action is needed at the local and state and federal levels. Action is also required in the economic, media, clerical, and other realms. Decide how you can act within your ability. Stand up and state your beliefs. Be proud of who you are and what you stand for, and face head-on those community leaders who are willing to allow dark forces to go beyond peaceful protests and destroy and violate your safety and security. Churches and houses of worship must return to normal. We invite everyone of goodwill to not skirt the responsibility and instead act in a fraternal fashion. If for no other reason or with no other ability, act in a spirit of charity. We cannot disrespect or disregard natural law, along with our own religious liberties and freedoms. I am witnessing elderly people lose their connection to all that is good in their lives, connections to their faith, their families, and their individual freedoms, especially the simple act of attending church, something they've been doing for decades. Let us not be intimidated for fear those who cry out that we are in the minority. We are not. Good is always more powerful and will prevail over evil. However, evil will succeed for a time when good people are divided from each other and their personal lives, children away from their teachers, preachers from their congregations, customers from their local businesses. America will never give in to evil. Americans work together to solve problems. We do not and should not ever allow anarchy and the evil forces behind it to operate on any street in our nation. No one should have to fear for their very life because some dark, disturbed force is challenged by the very essence of what America stands for. We are one nation under God, and it is our individual liberties that make us strong, not liberties given to our government. Our government has no liberty unless and until we the people say so. God bless America, and let's stand by everything that was and is good in our lives, in our communities, and in our country. Otherwise, America, as the true North Star for humanity, will cease to exist as we know it. And I do believe he's speaking to the silent majority. The silent majority needs to stay together, bring other people into what we know, and stand up and show that we support the police, we support American values. We need to put our flags out. We need to show them. We need to show the deep state that they are not the majority. They are the minority. We, the people, are the majority, the silent majority, watching, observing, waiting for the right moment to strike. When will we strike? Election day. They will know how big the silent majority is. They will understand that the people are not with them. They're against them. And this will throw them into a deep panic. They will become desperate. And I do believe this is what all of this is building up to. All these events, all the tantra tantrums that the deep state is now throwing at us, it's to expose them, to bring the people together. More and more people are learning, understanding. And it's having the mainstream media, the deep state, and the rest panic about it. They can't stop it. They started it, and it didn't go their way. And now it's going the opposite way. They can't stop it. It's like an avalanche where it's building and building and building as the snow tumbles from the mountainside, and it's getting larger and larger, and the silent majority is building, and they're watching it build, and they're losing control. They can't control it anymore because the avalanche is too big, and it's heading right towards them. You know what they're feeling right now? panic and fear and pain. The operation is now a go. Barr gave the signal. Trump gave the signal. I believe we're headed to that time. It is showtime. Listen, everyone, thanks a lot for listening. Be well, be safe, and especially be prepared. Thanks a lot.